Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. Amen. God is so good all the time. I love Christmas. Unfortunately, I got to travel to a conference in a week, after Thanksgiving. So I'm trying to prepare those lights now because I don't have time later. And I get so excited, and Sarah's helping me and putting on the Christmas lights outside. And I love this time of year. It's getting cooler, so it's starting to feel better. So I just love this time of year. So it's so important in life to trust God, isn't it? Well, last week, the title of the sermon was Trust God's Timing. So important. And if you miss and you want to hear some of these sermons, you can go to online to our website. It's easy to find. Our abbreviated HCC stands for Hope Community Church, hccdonna.org. You can find all our sermons. So if you're interested in learning about God's timing and trusting God's timing and you missed that, please feel free to, you have access to that. Well, we learned last week that God's timing is perfect. Amen. It's just perfect. And it's not our timing, but it's a perfect timing. And I like to say this quote, it's never over until God says it's over. Amen. So something's going on in your life and it seems like it's over. It's not over till God says it's over. And we pray and believe. The Bible tells us that if we pray, that He listens. So whatever you're going through in your life or you have going on, never doubt that it's never over till God says it's over. And it doesn't begin until God says it's time to begin. You know, here's a perfect example. If Donald Trump, or as they say now, President-elect Donald Trump, thinks that his political strategy was what got him the presidency, he's mistaken. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, here's the truth about elections. And He changeth the times and the seasons. This is God. And He removeth kings and He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. God is in control. Amen. And God has a kingdom plan. Amen. So much bigger than your plan. You know, Christmas list, Thanksgiving, got to go to the in-laws, the outlaws, you know what I mean, right? You have it all planned out. But God's timing is perfect timing. And President-elect Trump won that election despite his strategy, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. And in Daniel 2:21, it shows us here that God is in control of who our leaders are. Amen. Because God has made a promise. It gets really deep, but I'm not going... God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about Israel. And whatever He's doing in the highest levels of politics, He's keeping that promise. And so He selects the leaders that need to move whatever. God is just so awesome, we can't even comprehend what He's doing. But He's kingdom-focused. It's a kingdom-focus. And sometimes, yes, we wish that His kingdom focus would line up with our focus, with our plans, with our will. Sometimes they do, but I'm learning most of the times they don't. But there's peace in this walk with God every step of the way. What I'm finding is that my plan was a good plan, but it might have not led to that good result. But God's plan will lead to kingdom results. You getting this? I mean, it's His plan. Is the little pieces that are happening in our lives, even those times when you're feeling a turmoil and stress and things aren't going the way you want it to go, and even those times, and maybe your childhood, the things that happened, why did they have to happen, and all of these things. When we think back, trust God's timing. He turns what the enemy seems. What the enemy meant for evil, for darkness, God turns them into something good for His kingdom. Amen. For His people who follow Him. And so all we have to do is focus on that part. Follow Him. Be intentional about God in our lives. And then trust God's timing for the rest. And I'll be the first one to tell you that it's not always painless. But I know this, that what Jesus did on the cross was not painless either. But it was kingdom focused. And because of that, we all have eternal life. Whatever pain you may go through, always remember that there's eternal life behind that when you walk through it. Somehow, maybe you'll minister to somebody. Maybe you'll give an encouraging word to somebody. You know, as we were going through the gifts of the Spirit on Tuesdays, you know, there was this word that came out. One of the gifts is exhortation. And this isn't in my notes, so maybe somebody needs to hear this. Exhortation means encouraging people. You know, that the spiritual gift of encouragement, where God gives you empowerment, that when you encourage somebody, it changes lives. That's pretty powerful. And I thought, that's a gift any of us can have, right? Just ask for these things and say, hey, God, I want to be an encourager, Lord, and go pray and get on your knees and say, Lord, give me this gift to encourage people. And you'll start finding He'll put you in situations to encourage. And what you say will bless them. So God's timing is perfect. And that was last week. This week I want to talk about being kingdom focused. Kingdom focused in your life. Kingdom focused. Be intentional about your relationship with God. That word, it was Jack Hayford who said that one time, and I never forgot it. I love it. I quote it all the time. Be intentional about your walk. That means when you wake up in the morning, have intention to put God in the day. Amen. Wow, but I get so busy. I know God knows that. I mean, He's not, you know, you can't be thinking about God when you're in the middle of solving a problem. And for the teachers that are here, that child's acting up, and your mind gets off of God and you're focused on the issue, and that's okay. But begin your day acknowledging that God is Lord of your life. And in your day, thanking God for being Lord of your life. And, you know, throughout the day when you get a chance, be intentional. So if you don't write anything else today, write that down. I need to be intentional in my walk with God. Amen. Intentional. It just doesn't happen. You just don't wake up one morning and all of a sudden you're on the journey for God's plan for your life. You have to be intentional about this walk. People who are kingdom focused do these things. They do this. They read their Bibles. Right? They pray. Not just on Sunday morning either. People who are intentional, ready to fight the good fight, they put on the armor of God. They go, they pray, they go to church. You know, one of the things that if you're struggling with your walk, one of the things I can guarantee you that's going to happen is to get to church is going to be, there's going to be obstacles, and it's just going to be the hardest day to wake up. Has anybody found that? You have to fight for this relationship. You got to make things happen to where you are in God's presence. You got to make it happen. You got to be intentional to make it happen. Now, you know, I'll be the first one to tell you that going to church doesn't get you to heaven. I mean, that's clear in Scripture. There are people who go to church and they don't have God in their life. That's not what it's all about. But people who have God in their life want to be in church. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered, He's there in the midst. And in worship time, He's there. And we feel His presence. And that's important. Read your Bible, pray, be in church, be a giver, be a cheerful giver. The Bible says to be a cheerful giver. People who are kingdom focused, they do these things not out of some kind of checklist item duty or here I got check, 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 okay, I did it again. No, out of one simple reason, out of love to our God. Amen. That's why. All those years, Pastor Green, when I was learning and watching him be pastor of this church for 23 years, all those times he kept challenging me, are you reading your Bible, praying every day? Yeah, mostly. And he wouldn't accept that. Mostly. Oh, he would. You know how Pastor Green is. You're not going to get anything by him. Oh, he wouldn't accept that, and it would frustrate me. And I look back at those times as probably some of the most important advice that I got. It's an intentional walk, and it's not something that you have to spend hours and hours doing. That you just one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, walk with God. Walk with God. You know, I love the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, so if somebody ever comes and tells you, you have to spend an hour reading your Bible or this or that, God may call you to do that. That's okay. But work it out. You and God, your time, your busyness of life. Work it out with Him. There's no scripture that says how much time. Right? Work it out. Just be intentional about putting Him first. In Luke chapter 22, verse 39, kingdom focus. I think it's best to start with the best example in the Bible about being kingdom focused. In Luke chapter 22, here's the best example, and His name is Jesus. Jesus. I want to read this from Luke 22, 39 through 46. So Jesus is, well, let's read it, and we can kind of feel his emotions here. And Jesus, He came out, and He went as He was wont to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. So they're in the Mount of Olives. And when He was on that place, He said unto him, pray that ye enter not into temptation. So He tells His disciples, here we are in the Mount of Olives. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. So, you know, 30, 40, 50 feet, they were separated. And He went on His own. And He kneeled down, and Jesus prayed. And Jesus knows that He's about to be crucified and killed. And He's praying now. Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Wow. You know, I love this scripture in this sense. Jesus Christ did not want to die. As a matter of fact, if you read into this, you can feel He's actually asking God, if there's another way to save the people of the world, can we do that? If not, let's do it. Jesus did not want to die. But He was kingdom focused. His will was to live. But God's plan was for Him to die. Why? Well, John 3:16 says it all. That's why. Because God loves you. He created you to find Him, to be at peace with Him, to be right standing with Him. With our faults and all, with our sin and all, with our past and all, He died. And this is why God sent His Son to die. But here in this verse, you know that Jesus said, if willing, if it be, can we not do this? But nevertheless, your will be done. And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. He needed that, didn't he? It tells you how much Jesus was in conflict. He needed an angel to comfort Him, to strengthen Him. And being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. So more we get more description. He is in agony about what's about to happen. And He prayed more earnestly. And he sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground, stressed. Agony, stressed. And when He rose up from the prayer, He was come to His disciples and He found them sleeping for sorrow. And He said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So here we just witnessed a lot of emotion. Jesus is going through it. He's agony. And he gets up. And the disciples are like, I'm tired. They didn't see it. They didn't get it. So picture this. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, is about to enter a death he does not deserve, but is freely surrendering to it. Why? Four-letter word, and it's not the ones the world says. Love. Love. This is the ultimate example of being kingdom-focused. Jesus understood that without his death to pay for our sins, you and I would have no hope of eternal life. The opposite of kingdom focus is what I want to call, I didn't know how to word it, but let's kind of try a few different words. The opposite of being kingdom focused is self-preservation at all costs or pride focused. Not the proud like I'm proud of my heritage, but the pride like I'm defending self and who cares about everything else, right? That kind of pride. Lifting yourself up pride. Pride focused. So the opposite of kingdom focus is pride focus or self-preservation. Or me focus, you know, the me generation. And people who have that kind of focus don't see that they hurt other people when they do that. When they put themselves first. In Psalm 10:4, if you'll turn to Psalm 10:4. Or actually, it's just one verse. We'll read it here in a screen here. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. See, when we are focused on us and only us, getting what we want, how we want it, our eyes are not focused on the things of God and after God. That's what the scripture is saying. People who are focused in their pride, they will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. See, that's the opposite of kingdom focused. It's just going off on your own without regards to what God's plan is. Which is why we have to be intentional. That's why we got to be intentional. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. I love this story about Mary and Martha because it illustrates a thing that we need to know about being kingdom focused. And let's read it together. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, don't you see that my sister hath left me to do all the work and serve alone? Please tell her, Jesus, to help me serve. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Really, really, a lot of lessons here. First, let me start with the extremes. Many times I have said, don't read a scripture and make a denomination and a religion out of it. Right? This is not saying that we should not work and serve, that we should only be sitting at Jesus' feet all the time, right? That's not what it's saying. But for this particular moment, you see, Jesus was about to be crucified. And he was going around and he knew where he was headed, basically. And what was most important at that time was not that the dishes were done at that particular moment, but it was to sit at Jesus' feet and take it in, who he is, giving him honor and glory for who he is. But Martha was so busy with making sure things looked right that she was missing that Jesus, the Son of God, was in their midst. What a lesson. Don't ever get too busy with life that you don't have time to sit at Jesus' feet. Amen? I mean, that is a lesson, a life lesson, that once you see yourself getting too busy, where everything's being pushed away as it pertains to more God in your life, it's time to stop and say, refocus. Amen? And you know people and your friends that maybe at some point were excited about God, and then they get so, you know, you are the laborers that communicate what the Holy Spirit reveals to you to others to encourage them. And Martha's story is the perfect illustration about how we cannot get too busy with life to forget about Jesus or to sit at his feet. And Mary sitting at Jesus' feet is equivalent in our lives to us reading our Bibles, praying, seeking more of God. Think of it in those terms. Because, you know, we can't sit at Jesus' feet, but we can. In spirit, in our actions. And so this story really, you know, applies to all of us in that sense. Don't be Martha, too busy. But there's other scriptures that says don't be lazy. So don't be slothful, right? You can't take the two extremes. But when you get too busy, when God's being pushed out, it's time to refocus. So do that. Do that. You know, we've been talking about preparing for the harvest. The harvest will be needing to see people who are kingdom focused so that. And the harvest represents this. It represents people who are not putting God, who are not intentional about God. The people who need more of God to be redirected to more of God in their life. That's the harvest. So picture that. With the harvest, there is people around you, co-workers, friends, relatives, or people around you that you see them struggling and you have found a jewel, a treasure in your relationship with God, and you just kind of want to show them. It's hard to show somebody the way when we are not kingdom focused, when we're not standing on that cornerstone, Jesus Christ. So preparing for the harvest is about the laborers, us, being real, being solid in our walk, not being perfect. Each and every one of us, we hang out with each other for more than a week, we'll start finding each other's imperfections. And we're like, I can't stand that person. But there's something about the Holy Spirit in us that lets us get over that. And we work together in our own way. You know, being in unity doesn't mean we have to hang out with each other every second of the day as we work together on the barbecue plate. I just saw people working and it was awesome. And sure, you're going to have conflict every once in a while. But when you're kingdom focused, all those faults in people, we're all in the same boat. Amen. We all need more of God. And it's a beautiful thing to see. And the harvest needs to see people that are kingdom focused, that are real. And that's what all of this few months we've been talking about, preparing for the harvest, because it's God's preparing us to be real. And you're going to find that some people are going to come with you, and some people are going to go at their own pace, and some people, but don't lose focus. Be intentional about your walk. Jesus was focused. The disciples slept. You're going to have some family, some friends that they're going to sleep for a little while. You stay kingdom focused. You keep going. And when time comes and they ask you a question, the Holy Spirit will give you that encouraging word, or that word of love. The harvest will be needing to see kingdom-focused people with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. When the church is kingdom-focused, the laborers will bring in a harvest strong in the Lord. Last point. In Matthew chapter 26, the story of Peter, and we're going to end with this thought. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. So Jesus is knowing that he's on his way to be crucified, and he tells Peter that he was going to deny him, and Peter was, "No, Lord, I will never deny you. I'm here with you." And then the truth comes out. Now Peter sat without in the palace as Jesus, this is when Jesus was being sent to be crucified, and Peter sat down in the palace, and a damsel came unto him saying, aren't you with Jesus of Galilee? And he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what you're talking about." And he was gone unto the porch. Another lady comes up to him and says, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him that they stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for your speech betrayeth thee. You sound like them, you walk like them." And he says, he began to curse them and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." So he even took it a step further and swore and cursed, because Jesus didn't do that, to show that he was different. So it wasn't just denying. He was going further than that. And he said, "No, I'm not with him." And immediately the cock crew. Jesus had prophesied that he would do this. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus when he said to him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times." And Peter went and he wept bitterly. In this part of the story, I'm going to ask Michelle to get ready for some music as we get ready to the last point. In this part of the story, Peter is totally in self-preservation and pride mode. The opposite of kingdom focus. All Peter is doing right here, because he loves Jesus, all he's doing right here is protecting self. Jesus didn't want to die. Peter didn't want to die. Jesus was kingdom focused. And Peter was Peter focused. But we read on the rest of the story. After Jesus is crucified in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3. If you'll turn there. Acts 3 verse 1. After Jesus was crucified and he rose from the dead, Peter was empowered. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. You may be asked, what does that mean exactly? Pray about it. God does empower his people. Amen. He does. Amen. A boldness comes over you. A confidence who you are in Christ Jesus. Just the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and you become bold. And no matter what, I know who I serve. And you know that. All of a sudden, that rose up in Peter. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was empowered. And now Peter, who was denying Jesus three times, is now speaking. Now this is the exact same person. Now he's about to speak these words. He says in Acts chapter 3 verse 1, "And Peter and John went up together into the temple to pray, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, when they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." So he was there asking for alms, for donations. And then seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for donations. He asked for help, for alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Oh, good, they're going to give me money, he thought. Then Peter said, remember, he denied Jesus three times, and now he's about to say, Peter said this, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give it to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him up by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, stood and walked, and entered into the temple, walking and leaping, and he was praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which was always at that gate, offering, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had just happened. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Greatly Wondering. Solomon's Greatly Wondering. And when Peter, verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? And he basically gave him a long sermon about this was Jesus Christ. He denied three times and was Peter focused. But now by doing what he did, publicly speaking, and then how many people got saved? Like 5,000 or 4,000, I forget how many. They all just came, I want Jesus. And this same man that was denying, because he spoke up and was putting his life in danger because they were being killed. You know the story of Saul persecuting the Christians. They were finding them, all the Jesus lovers, and they were killing them. But he didn't care anymore. He said, Jesus did this miracle. Jesus Christ, whom you crucified publicly. Started telling the people, you Jewish leaders, you crucified him. He's the Messiah. What happened to Peter? He became kingdom focused. He didn't care anymore. God has the plan, the big picture, the timing. God's got a plan for you. As long as he has a plan for you, don't worry about dying. He has a plan. But when God says it's time, it's time. And it's never over till God says it's over. Amen. Kingdom focused. That's what the difference is here. And I want us to look down deep in our hearts at this time. If you just kind of get in an attitude of prayer, bow your heads, close your eyes. Kingdom focused. The harvest needs the church to be kingdom focused. God needs us to be kingdom focused. To be intentional about our walk with Him. And to publicly not be ashamed of what we believe. Peter was no longer afraid. He spoke boldly because it was about the kingdom of God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about that person you're supposed to talk to and encourage to help them find God. It is God's will that His glory is shown to the world through you. Kingdom focused. Maybe you've been struggling about putting God first and kind of being intentional. God's pursuing you this morning. He's calling you to not just to go through the motions, because it's time for the church to stand up and leave our own agendas behind and begin to execute God's kingdom plan in our lives. All your concerns, your passions, He'll take care of that. That just how He took care of the birds, He'll take care of us. As His parable tells us. He'll take care of you. That's without question. Martha was too busy. So this morning I want to open up the altars and don't be ashamed to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to be kingdom focused. I'm being distracted. I'm going left, I'm going right, and your Holy Spirit has just revealed to me that I just need to be centered on Jesus and the cross and what He's done for us. And trust His timing. Trust His timing. Be kingdom focused. So if that's you this morning, I believe we just need to pray. And by coming to the altar, it's an action that we're not ashamed. We just, well, yes, Lord, I need to focus on You. I need to be intentional in You. It's nothing to be ashamed of. If you're going to live for God, we can't worry about what others think about us. It's between you and Him. When I just count to three and the musicians will start playing. And if that's you this morning, you just want to state it in your heart. You want to proclaim it here. You want to tell the enemy that you're proclaiming it. You come and we'll agree and pray together about being kingdom focused, about being intentional. To be the second Peter that said, I don't have anything to give you but Jesus. That's who you are. Kingdom focus. One, two, three.